I'm Emma Curtin, host of a new true crime podcast called Murder Archives. It's set in Toorak in 1929 about the murder of Norma Rees-McLeod. Search for Murder Archives where you're listening right now.
Glenn, we've got a sponsor. This is amazing.
Well, I couldn't think of anyone more impressive than Super Simple
Cards.
Cards.
I was thinking BHP, but we have got Super Simple Cards. They're made in Gippsland, so they're a local product.
They're manufactured by solar.
Wow, they're using solar power. Yep. They only work during the day. They work at night.
I'm charging this one up now.
And the printing uses only vegetable oil-based inks.
Yeah. Oh,
that's good.
And cards are combustible.
Compostable. Well, they probably would burn if you lit them, but you can put them in the compost and they will decompose. Compostable.
I'm sorry about that. Yeah. But I'm just looking at one now, and these, I got to say, they're frameable.
They're cute.
You could put nice words on the inside. You know what I like? They're blank.
They're blank.
I don't like being told what to say.
I know. So that could be like, that's a good one for your mum or a loss or a wedding or anything. It could be for anything. It says
purpose.
Anything.
All purpose
card. So find a link in the show notes or go to supersimplecards.com. Get 10% off your entire order when you use this code somehow at the checkout. All shipping is free. Yeah, well, get a great pack of environmentally friendly cards. They'll save you time and money. Go to supersimplecards.com.
You know when you're driving around in the car?
I drive around the car. Yeah, I actually drive around a lot.
But no, you know what? This wouldn't. Your average person wouldn't relate to this because I mix in circles of...
Audi drivers?
You didn't need to bring that up.
BMW drivers?
Yeah. And all other sorts of cars.
Yeah.
Anyway, driving around, and then I hear a voice on the go. I recognise that voice. And it's your good self.
Oh, it's me.
And I'm thinking, if I was going to ever do a voiceover, not that I get asked to do that many or ever.
But you used to do them, didn't you?
No. Oh, okay. I'm not that good at them. Donuts. You were advertising donuts.
I was doing donuts. Yeah, I was. I was for Coles Express. That's right.
Because you're the Coles Express guy.
I am the voice of Coles Express.
Do you put a voice on?
Nah, it's just normal.
You just read it off the page.
They got a lot of people to audition for those ads. They wanted just a normal sounding person. It's like when I did this corporate video for Telstra showing the guys how to walk properly in the field and stuff like that and how to wear a hat, you know, a hat. And I said to the guy at the end of the process, why did you choose me? And he goes, we did a survey amongst all the boys and you were the most... We wanted someone really average and you were the most average person they could think of.
Well, I was the same. When I first started doing ads, I always used to get cast as average dad.
Average guy, yeah.
Average dad. You know, yeah. I'd paint my house. I'd get the insurance. I did one for the Christian Television Association.
Oh, I used to love those ads.
Yeah.
You couldn't understand them, those ads.
No, mine was I was sitting opening my lunch and my wife had written on my boiled egg, I love you. And it was tell someone you love them today. So people do porn, but I do Christian television.
Christian television ads.
Yeah. Anyway.
No, well, with my ads, I was driving along one day. I was having a conversation on the phone, on the car phone, and, you know, cuts the radio out when you're talking.
Yeah.
But the radio comes back straight on. So I was talking to someone, could have been you, and then I said, hey, I'll see you later. And the radio, and it's my voice coming back over on there. And that freaked me out a bit.
Well,
I'm like, hello? What? Oh, it's an ad.
I was flying internationally, and Catherine Kim was on the flight.
Yeah.
And it was on the little arm where it pops out of your arm and you can hold it up. And then the woman next to me didn't speak English very well. We got to chatting. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning, blah, blah, blah. And then she said to me, what do you do for a living? So I just pulled the screen around and pointed at myself.
Fantastic.
And she shut herself.
Really?
She couldn't. She's looking at me, looking at the screen. She started crying, started trying to wake her husband up. And he's going, what's going on? What are you talking about? I don't care who he is. I'm going back to sleep.
Is there some kind of attack on the plane?
What's happening? But, you know, I had to do it, really. The moment was there.
I would do that. It's like when we had a barbecue for the local neighbours and these young girls from that live in the flats asked me what I did for a job and I said I'm a full-time celebrity. No, I actually said I'm a celebrity. And the girl goes, is that a full-time job? I'm like, yeah, pretty much.
Full-time. Yeah.
And my wife and kids are like, oh, Dad, shut up.
Anyway, where's that? I could hear the theme.
Okay, here we go.
I can hear it coming in like a horse does from the distance.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Right, and yeah, welcome to our podcast, Somehow Related, where we get two topics that don't seem, it doesn't seem at first that they are related, but they, in the end, we find out the answer that they are.
Well, I find out because Sam,
our computer.
She knows. She's gone out. I don't know how she wanders around.
She's got good Google skills.
Yeah, and she finds them, brings them to us, and then we, like two CSI detectives.
Yeah. Maybe she's got one of those search engines. Apparently there's, I read this the other day, there's other search engines apart from Google, not Ask Jeeves. There's other ones. Yahoo. No, there's other ones that are deep, deep, deep search engines. Not because Google's sort of on the surface, apparently. Just goes for the obvious. That's
well, there's one on my computer that's called an incognito search.
Oh, yeah, right.
So no one knows that you've searched. Oh, well, no one knows on your computer.
Yeah, right.
So not that I've ever...
Handy for some sort of things I'm thinking of.
The guy, the little man that works in the incognito part, he's seeing some weird shit.
Look like Glenn Robbins searching for the day. All right, well, let's get our topics. Here we go.
Your subjects this episode that are somehow related to the Taliban and Fitbit trackers.
Wow.
I'm just checking your wrist now.
I have a Fitbit.
You do not.
I have a Fitbit. Yeah, I haven't got it on. I normally have it in my pocket. It broke. Yeah, I've got one. Haven't you heard my... I do stand-up. I got my Fitbit for my birthday from my wife. That's what I got.
She gave you a Fitbit?
For my birthday.
Because I gave Slender a Fitbit.
Wow. We're not the same person, are we? No, we're not. Well, I know.
And it broke.
Yeah, the bands fell off overseas, so I still put it in my pocket. Yeah, because I... you know, I'm always trying to lose weight, so I
does it work in you? Cause it,
yeah.
So you
10,000 steps.
You know that 10,000—that's just a random thing that was made up by a Japanese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still good to get 10,000.
It's a lot
steps.
Of steps.
Yeah, but you know, and you know, in my stand-up, I joke that I didn't know it vibrated when it hit 10,000. The first time it happened, I thought I was having a heart attack because I honestly, one of the 3 months, I'd never felt it before.
So it was going off in your pocket. So
every day I would get up to about 5,000 steps, and then it resets itself. Every day.
But one day you did.
One day I did 10,000 steps and it went off on my wrist and I'm like, what the hell's happening?
It has a little happy reaction.
Yeah, it had a little rocket going up and stuff. It's like a climax kind of thing on your watch.
Because you can, can't you do, it tells you to do when how you're sleeping.
Yeah, I don't put it on during sleep though.
I've heard that.
Because it buzzes and whirs and stuff.
Some of them can tell you when to have sex.
Well, that could be that, you know, it takes two to tango. So.
It wasn't me buzzing away.
Hey, you gave it to me for my birthday. It's telling me
I think it's in terms of a right time for more of a female thing.
Ah, okay. Cycle. Yeah. If you want to have a child or something. Yeah,
just put in how many babies you want to have. Have a baby. And, you know.
Wasn't that the Catholic contraception method where there was a rhythm method, wasn't it? Was it different where you had to time it on your cycle?
Yeah.
Enough of that.
Any
Fitbits. My Fitbit broke when I was overseas, but I normally have it in my pocket, but I don't actually have it.
And when it buzzed, did you feel like Pavlov's dog? Did you feel like? Oh no, you got scared. But now you look at it and you go, I'm a good boy.
Yeah. But also now, if I'm at home and we're watching TV or something like that, and it's only 8,000 steps, I will walk up and down to get to 10,000 steps.
Just so you can.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but also it works. People have done stand-up. Again, Peter Hell used to do a routine about this. It works on moving your arms too. So if you're in bed doing something vigorous with your hands, so they can.
Yeah.
So I think his joke was teenage boys, man, they're getting the steps up. I've actually been in bed and done that. I've been up to like 9,980 and I've just gone like this. Like I'm wobbling my hands like the robot in
But it's purely, Will Robinson. Purely for you. So it's purely for you. As in, it's not like it's going to affect anything. It's not going
to...
Does it go... Can it go back to your computer or can it go... Do they know back at the company?
No, you put an app on your phone. Yeah, they would know. They would know.
So they
and you know... Oh, you know what else? Adam Zwar, claiming name dropping, told me that his Fitbit is synced with his personal trainer. So he gets calls and messages now. Adam, you're not moving much, mate. What are you doing?
No.
Come on. Come on, Adam. Do some steps.
Coming up here, mate. You're way down. Crank one out.
So, yeah, you can get it synced to your phone, to the computer, whatever. But the Fitbit Corporation, they would know my movements, yeah.
Fitbit
and Taliban, though.
I'm scared. I don't want to talk. I'm scared about talking about the Taliban.
Where do you think they're going to?
Well, I've heard you get put on a list.
Oh, you know my twin brother, Glenn, who works for the Red Cross?
Yeah.
he still works for them as a. He lives in Switzerland. We've talked about him before, Glenn. He speaks like this, and he his last posting was going to be to Afghanistan with his three kids and wife, and all his mates at the Red Cross said don't go because the Taliban were in control. This was before the whole 9/11 stuff, and he said his mates said you'd go to the airport, the Taliban would just pull you aside because you're a foreigner, open up your suitcase and smash all your CDs and Walkman or computer. Yeah, just smash with a hammer. And he said it wasn't a great, so he didn't go. But he's since been to Kabul and worked there, and said and it's pretty scary. You stay in like the so-called green zone, whatever they call it, where it's meant to be safe. But he heard explosions going off at night, and it's pretty bad.
Yeah, you do hear the stories, and yeah, it's my comprehension of that world is minimal.
Yeah, well, I only know because he's been. I've also a lot of comics go and do. Entertain the troops. I've been asked to go to entertain the troops there, but I've always said no.
A friend of mine was doing it, and he said that they were put in two cars. One was the, if anything happens, they had a decoy car.
Yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Yeah, so they didn't know who was, not that they want. Would they really want to kill a comedian from Melbourne?
Well, they wouldn't know. They wouldn't know. You're just another soldier to them. They don't care.
Yeah.
But the Taliban, well, the Taliban's not Al-Qaeda, though, is it? They're separate. Or they sort of work together occasionally. The Taliban were the ones who were in government for a while, They're still there, and they are the ones with the really strict. They didn't want girls to be educated. They didn't want any of that kind of stuff. So I doubt, Osama bin Laden, I doubt if he wore a Fitbit. Or maybe he did. Maybe there's some kind of fitness thing with the Taliban. Where they've got Fitbits and they're working out in the mountains.
I was doing breakfast radio with
Osama bin Laden,
and nice guy. And
didn't they find porn on his computer? Wasn't that the thing? They found pornography on his computer. Yeah, when they raided his house.
He needs.
Have you seen that movie?
He needs incognito.
Have you seen that movie?
I didn't want to watch it because it's.
It's great.
Really?
Yeah, it's really interesting. You should watch it. Anyway, so you're doing Breakfast Radio.
Oh, no, this is an anecdote, really.
No, we want to hear it.
Yeah. And I won't say it was about, will I? We're doing Breakfast Radio at in ABC.
Yeah.
And the presenter came in, who was coming on next, because they come at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And it was summertime, because that's all I'm good for, summertime fill-in.
Of course.
He said, gee, you're not very well dressed to be here at the ABC. He had a crack at what we were wearing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so it was like, oh, okay, fair enough. And then we sort of talked to him about,
what was coming up on his show?
No, we said, do you decide what you're going to wear the next day? And do you put it out the night before?
You lay it out. Yeah.
Goes, yeah, I do. Anyway, then he goes, anyway, what's on your show? And then he goes, we're talking about this, and we're talking about hospitals, we're talking about public transport, and we're talking about the Taliban, blah, blah, blah. And I said to him, do you reckon the Taliban lay their clothes out the night before? I don't think he would.
Do you think he found that funny?
I didn't find it funny, I don't think. I didn't do the show. I didn't do Breakfast Radio for a couple of years after that.
You get asked back.
Yeah.
I don't think the Taliban, I reckon they only have two changes, honestly. I reckon... My knowledge of watching movies is I don't reckon they have a big wardrobe, the Taliban. They've been in a cave or a hut somewhere. They're moving around a lot. There's not a lot of personal hygiene.
What would the standard outfit be?
Is this sort of like pants and sort of a top? All I know is it gets really cold in that part of the world.
Would there be a Taliban clothes shop?
A uniform shop for like... Yeah. I drive past some private schools, they've got a uniform shop attached to their school. Yeah. What if they've got a uniform shop? Hello, come in. Get dressed. All I know is that all these guys always claim to be they're anti-technology, blah 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 blah. But they use technology. You know what I mean? They do use technology. So I reckon the Taliban, what you're thinking is
I
reckon the Taliban's got some kind of. I reckon? I reckon they've got. They've stolen Fitbits because there was this whole thing in the paper the other day about how one of the tricks the Americans used on the Taliban, they use infrared so they can go out at night and spot things. But then the Taliban started shooting them and stealing their infrared glasses.
Would there be any use in the Taliban having
Fitbits?
I can't
they do a lot of steps, wouldn't they?
They do a lot of steps.
Oh, they do a lot of steps. They'd be out every day. Apart from driving around in those utes that we see on movies,
yeah.
They'd get off and they'd run around in the mountains. The average soldier, not your Osama, or
he wouldn't be doing many steps.
No, he's in a cave or something like that.
No, he was in a multi-level building. He'd be doing a lot of stairs.
Yeah, he had a lot of stairs in his eventually. Yeah,
because you've seen the movie.
I've seen the movie.
Yeah.
He was upstairs.
Yeah, he was upstairs.
Watching his computer. I reckon they've stolen the Fitbits and they're... maybe there's... Oh, you know what? There's a black market in them. I reckon that's what it is. There's a black market
in
Fitbits.
But would they really be interested in...
Well, they sell heroin. They sell... Maybe the heroin trade's dropped off and the Fitbit trade's picked up. All I know is that they were stealing infrared glasses and selling them and using them because they're very expensive. And so maybe there's some sort of black market trade in Fitbits. The Taliban are buying Fitbits. Not buying Fitbits, stealing Fitbits and selling them to like in Pakistan or somewhere. You go to a market in Pakistan... Join a Fitbit. Like when you used to be able to buy Zippo lighters, which were all ex-Vietnam War, which they were all fakes. But right. You know, maybe this guy's in the Pakistani market. You want to buy an American Fitbit from a soldier? Yeah, great souvenir. I don't know.
Got
no
in
idea.
My pocket now, but there must be something in the fact that you could. If you were wearing, I wonder. Here you go. I wonder if American soldiers wore them.
I reckon, you'd wonder if don't they have to take their jewelry off and stuff? And maybe it's not considered jewelry. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, because they're into fitness. They are into fitness, American soldiers.
So, I mean, and surely they couldn't... But if you could... Oh, I'm heading towards something here.
How all right.
Yeah. Have you?
I'm going with. I've got my theory. I've already. Should we have some thinking music?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what Sam's chosen.
Okay. Here we go. Here we go. Here's a break. Wow, that was lovely, Sam. Bit of Afghan folk music.
I feel like I'm in a what part of town? What part of the
in
city?
A hut.
Yeah.
Maybe in a hut.
Yeah.
In rural Afghanistan.
Sometimes when you get into a cab and they're playing their
music,
you go, initially I don't like it. Then I go, hang on.
Yeah, you get into it.
I'm warming to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've had Indian cab drivers play Bollywood and stuff. Yeah. And you're like, this is pretty good.
Yeah, this is not bad.
You're like in a kebab shop. You're waiting for your kebab. You get sent into a trance. Yeah, I like it. I like what's going on here. Garlic sauce, of course.
There's a guy in the corner over there who's a celebrity and he's just closed his eyes and he's
celebrity,
just,
that's right.
Yeah.
Hypnotized by the music. All right, well I'm gonna say I reckon the Taliban are stealing Fitbits and selling them on the black market. Bang. Glenn?
I reckon that American soldiers are wearing them and they're mistakenly uploading them. Stupid.
Yeah.
And by uploading them, the Taliban can go up on their computer and go,
I know their whereabouts.
And know where they are. Because I don't know whether you can track them, but maybe you could track them.
Well, yeah, they can track me.
Yeah. Wow. So they would know, if they know where you are, like they know where your phone is, so therefore...
Yeah, oh no, Fitbit's going to be tracked. There's no doubt about it. Okay, Sam, what's the answer?
American military bases in Afghanistan were revealed when location data captured by Fitbits was published online. Soldiers' fitness trackers reported the data to a fitness app. The military bases were discovered by a 20-year-old Australian who was looking at a map of the data. The American military is worried the Taliban could use the data for new attacks.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, I was...
You were right.
Yeah, pretty close.
You were right. So there's a map where they've just got...
It's because easy peasy.
Of course, the only people in Afghanistan wearing Fitbits would be American soldiers and the occasional aid worker, I reckon.
Maybe they're... Even if they're only wearing them while they're in a protected area, they could still work out what they were doing.
Yeah.
Running around in circles or whatever.
Wow, that's amazing. It's amazing. I assume that technology's not available anymore. I assume they took that offline. Yeah. Once it was discovered that you can see all the Fitbits in Afghanistan,
but it'll pop up somewhere else though.
Oh, anyway. Probably,
yeah. So you
I know Osama's dead, but the head of the Taliban looking at a computer, going, "Look at them all running. Look at the one just sitting there. That must be the general. That's the general. but it's just some fat bloke. The chef, probably. Let's get the general. Get him. Kill him. I don't know why they speak like that. Where are they from?
Accent that sort of covers
all. It's a generic accent. Yeah. Bad guy accent.
Yeah.
Well, great. There we go.
You got to laugh at the end like that too.
Somehow Related.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
So you're going to use your Fitbit this afternoon?
I will put it on. I'll go for a walk. I will go for a walk. That's right. I mean, I've spoken to you when I've been for a walk. You're a fan of walking, aren't you?
I'm a big walker.
How long do you walk for?
About half an hour a day.
Yeah, well, that's what I try and do.
About the length of The Debrief.
Ah, there we go. What a great podcast.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll listen to that. And because if you listen to this, what are we, about 15, 20?
Yeah.
Not long enough.
I've listened to this podcast while walking. Yeah.
Mm.
I listen to two. Because it's
and the faster you go, the longer you live. But the main thing is that you're moving.
Yeah. You've got to get a bit of a.
Because I was walking at the Oval at the end of the street the other day, and
doing laps.
And that's fine. That's good. Except there was another guy similar age doing laps, but he was going the other way. So do you acknowledge each other every time you pass?
No, first time, yes.
First time.
Second time, no.
But do you? So even a little nod the second time? No, it's just nothing.
Possibly. It's like doing laps in the pool, isn't it? I don't know. That's a hard one. I say hello to people if I'm walking sort of in the neighborhood.
What about a supermarket? When you're in a supermarket and you're starting and they're going the opposite way to you, and that's someone that you know, and the first time you see them, you do something funny because they're a friend.
Yeah.
But then you're under the pump to do something funny.
Second time, yeah.
What do you got for me? I've got nothing.
I've done. I've already seen you today. That's what I say sometimes. I've already said hello.
And what about when you're driving somewhere and then you pull up at the lights and there's someone over from you that you know them? So, hi, how are you? Window down. Then you drive along to the next. Do you look across the next set of lights? Or do you just go, I think I'm busy on my phone. Do you pretend not to see it? Well, if one hello, it's all over?
I think one hello and then just a bit of a look over. Yeah, we're still here. We're still here in traffic.
Well, you know, just go for a walk.
Don't drive.
And say hello to someone every time. The only thing that I really dislike, though, with walking, is you're walking down a track. And it's a three-wide track, and there are people coming three front on at the...
Yeah.
And you're a single, and you're going... And they hardly get over.
Yeah, no, move over.
I nearly resort to a bit of hip and shoulder.
Yeah, it's not good.
And it spins my bit around and...
Yeah.
And,
a Taliban turn up. You are very active.
Oh, beautiful.